Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Deva Maduro. Maduro is a prominent musician and composer in the world of Osho, author of various CDs and poet of the inner world. Maduro took sannyas in 1978 and lives between Australia and Osho Miasto in Italy, where he plays music and also works as a chef. Maduro, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very happy to be sharing with you something of my sannyas life. I'm glad that you're doing this work because it's nice to spread Osho and his teaching.
Absolutely. Well, and thank you for being part of this podcast. So to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, it's a bit of a complex thing. I will try to make it a bit more simple. I came across Osho in the 70s. I was involved in things to do with, let's call it politics, not really, in the sense that I was part of a counter-cultural movement, which was Renudo. We were organizing festivals of music. You know, our activity was pretty much within the political environment, but it was more cultural. During one of these festivals, I kind of had a very big disappointment with what was happening in the environment of politics, of trying to change the world. And, well, there was a big disappointment because what happened there was big fights between different political movements, police coming in. It was really big disappointment. But what happened is that at the same time, there were some sannyasin doing some demonstration of meditations and also of massage. And I met the first sannyasin there, and I had a massage that kind of acted on my emotion, in the sense that it was not only a relaxing massage, it was also something that pushes a bit your emotion. And I started shouting to let this sort of pain go out. When this was finished, I felt so good. I opened my eyes and the world was different in a big way. And yeah, I thought, well, here there is something, you know, that I had to go deeper into it. And then I started to meet other sannyasis. They introduced me to meditations. And then I started to do meditation camps. And then in 78, I decided that I had to go to Pune and meet the master. And that's what happened. I mean, I can say I was not looking for a master. I was not looking for a spiritual experience. But it just came on my way in the moment that all the searching for the change through action on the outside was falling, was disaggregating. It was disappointing, you know. So I probably was very open to this other thing to happen, and it did happen. So I can't say if it's accidental or not, but maybe it was not, but let's say it was not in my mind to meet, you know, a master and to meditation and so on.
So basically, yeah, you were involved in cultural and political activities. You wanted to change the world. You got a little bit disappointed there. And then you had this experience through a massage. You came into contact with sannyasins, and that led you to go to India and meet Osho. And obviously, your life changed completely, dramatically. So, maybe tell us the first time you saw Osho in person.
I'm trying to remember. I think the first time was probably, I can't remember if the first time was to go into a discourse or to go, or it was my sannyas. I had to admit I was a little bit confused because, first of all, I didn't understand much English. And so my being there, it was an experience that it was basically going beyond words and feel what was going on beyond words when I was in his presence.
Okay, so maybe tell us that when you took sannyas, that experience of being with Osho and taking sannyas.
Mm-hmm. When I took sannyas, I did ask for taking sannyas, and they told me to do first one meditation camp and then go and take sannyas. The best thing I can do is to read you what he told me, because for me it was very important, and it became even more important during the years. So he tells me, Deva means divine. Madhura means sweetness. God is a taste, is not an argument. You have to eat him to know him. It is not an hypothesis to be understood intellectually. It is not a philosophy at all. It is a taste on the tongue. And God has to be lived, loved, absorbed. Unless God starts flowing in your bloodstream, starts beating in your heart and become part of your marrow, you will not know him. That's why Jesus says to his disciple, what I'm giving you is my body. Eat it. Each disciple has to be a cannibal. He has to eat the master, and not only eat. He has to digest him, and then great sweetness spreads all over one's being. That sweetness is eternal. That sweetness has many facets to it. In one sense, it's beauty. In another sense, it is truth. In still another sense, it is godness, love, celebration. It is multi-faced diamond. But the basic thing is the taste. It is sweetness. For me, this has been such an important thing, because when I got there, I had this image, also when I was meditating, which was absolutely mental. So I was trying to find that empty space, but empty, really empty, without anything. And when he told me that the important thing is the taste, I did realize how true it was, because also over the year, because that emptiness is not a tasteless thing. It's something that has got a taste. A taste, sweet doesn't mean in the sense of sugar. Sweet as a texture, as a sensation, you know. Yeah, this has changed completely my approach to meditation. Yeah, that's basically what's the importance of this for me. And over the year, this became even more clear. It's not something that you have to imagine or you have to understand intellectually. It's really a question of feeling the taste, of absorbing. I understand what he means, eating the master. And I feel it even more stronger now. When I hear his discourses, it's really as if he's entering me energetically in beyond the significance of what he's saying. It's a bit like he's not talking about meditation. He's feeding me with meditation. It's like those vibes are entering me when he is speaking, you know. And that's what I think he was telling me at that time.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. And it's very difficult to put into words this kind of experiences. Mm. What comes to mind to me, do you feel now that you still get that feeling of eating the master, even though Osho is no more in the body? You said when you hear his discourses, or perhaps, you know, you watch a video, etc. How that experience evolved through the time, and if there is any difference between the time when Osho was in the body and now?
Well, it has a double face, this. Obviously, when he was in the body, it was more tangible, because his life is there. But on another side, like many things in life, you get more refined and sophisticated over the time. It's like by listening to him, even now, I got more into it. I'm more sensitive to it, even if it's not in the body. But even when I hear his discourses now, it's happening. It's happening because also over the years, I had the time to clear out a lot of projection and mind about what he was talking. I remember when he was talking many years ago, also before he left the body, I was very much there listening to his discourse live. A lot of things, either I didn't understand them, or a lot of things I understood them through a lot of projection of my mind. And, you know, by listening a lot to him, if you have the openness, of course, you can see all this projection and go into the essence of it. And that's what I feel that is happening to me when I listen to him. Of course, there are some discourses that gets me more than other, you know. But basically, that's what I feel. It's a bit like often, it's like listening to music. And that's something that is certainly, it's happening even more. Yeah, I hope I've been able to explain. I mean, it's not easy with words.
Yes, it's definitely not easy. But for me, it's important to go a little bit deeper on this and talk about this, because through these interviews, I am with one foot in the past, talking to the people who have been with Osho, and with the other foot, I am in the present and future, talking to the people who have never met Osho, and somehow giving them a feeling that to be with Osho is possible. So that's why I'm interested to hear when you say that nowadays your experience of imbibing Osho and feeling his presence is somehow got even deeper in a way. So what do you think is the key for that to happen, or at least for you? Why do you think that you feel Osho more today? You said that some of the projection went away, but maybe tell us a little bit more about that. What changed in you that made you more connected to Osho now than before?
Well, I don't know how much more I can say about that. I mean, it's because the important thing, as I said, is that when a lot of the projection are gone, you start to listen to him in the essence. It's important not to listen to him through the mind, not creating ideas out of what he's saying. I mean, which is not easy, but that's the secret. It's a bit like listening to music rather than listening to a philosophy. I don't know if I can say what could help other people, because, you know, we all have different approach, you know, and maybe what worked for me doesn't mean that it's going to work for other people. But, you know, the only thing I can say is what is my experience. I mean, Osho has been a big challenger, provocator. So he said a lot of things to somehow to push your buttons, because that would bring out the mind. If you go through this and you don't react, something else happens. Then you listen to him in a more clean way. He's not something to agree or not to agree what he's saying. It's the taste of meditation that is transmitting. It's the silence that is transmitting. It's the gaps also in what he's saying. It should focus more on that rather than have a big intellectual understanding of what he's saying. Because this, I can see that this is happening with also a lot of new sannyasin, you know, not only, but with a lot of new sannyasin that, you know, they listen to one thing and immediately they maybe create an idea, you know, about it. And, you know, like this is the right thing to do, you know, even political idea, you know. And that's not the point, because this is an individual experience. It's your individual experience. And Osho, it's helping you through that. It's what is happening inside of you. I don't know if I can. I'm not very good with rational words.
Yes, I mean, you're more like a poet and you express it in music very beautifully, and we'll get to that just in a second. Mm. But I think, you know, it's very beautiful the way you articulate that. And for me personally, at the beginning, I was attracted to Osho I mean, I had an immediate reaction from the heart, but mainly I was fascinated also intellectually by what he was saying. And then you described, it happened through the time, through keep listening to him, meditation, I think that's key. You know, through the practice of meditation, then things start changing. But it's hard not to agree or disagree with Osho, because he's such a genius also just on the intellectual level alone. But what Osho has to offer is beyond that. So that's great that you pointed out. So beautiful. So maybe the last part on this before we talk about music is I'm curious to know if, apart from that meeting with Osho when you took sannyas, have you had any other personal advice from Osho?
I did ask him a question because I had a problem with keep doing some meditation regularly. And this was creating me tension, and I thought, well, what's the point of doing meditation if the idea of getting to do them regularly, it just makes me not easy? So I did ask him the question, Osho, do you do meditation need any technique? And immediately the day after, he answered me, and he said, meditation doesn't need any technique. Meditation has nothing to do with technique. It's like a flower that is blossoming, growing in you. But it's like if you are in a garden and you have to grow a flower or a plant, you need to remove all the hindrance, the weed, the stones, to let this happen. And that's what the technique are. So basically he said, I mean, he went through examples of the disciple of Krishnamurti, that he always teach that there were no techniques, you know, and he said, but, you know, they didn't get enlightenment through not using technique. Well, basically he was saying, you know, you have to do your work to clear up your inside, your emotion, your projection, your thing, you know. So meditation doesn't have to do with technique, but if you don't use technique, you're not going to get it. That's how he ended the answer. I mean, this was very significant for me, what he said, because you can get lost into, all right, I just relax and all will happen. It's not necessarily like that. I mean, particularly for us Westerners, we need to clear up the ground to make things happen. That's why he has these meditations, you know, active meditations.
I think that question is almost universal question for all seekers or all people interested in meditation and the path. It's very significant, of course, for you personally, but for me, I'm sure for many, many other people, because we all get at some point into that little bit of confusion. And it's a bit of a koan, you know. Meditation is not a technique, but without technique, you don't get it in a way. So. Let's move on and talk about music. So you were already a musician before coming to Osho. You discovered how to express your creativity through music. How the way you play music changed after meeting Osho and becoming a sannyasin?
Well, it changed radically. Before I met Osho, I was not doing much music. What happened is that when I met him, your heart is opening, you know, with Osho. So things start to come out. My way of doing music after I met Osho, when I became sannyasin, is that I can only do music through my heart, which, you know, was not necessarily like that before. It became more a vehicle of expressing things that I can't express in any other way. Certainly a lot of emotional thing, but also a lot of peaceful and silent thing. Yeah, and I got the opportunity to do it there. The other thing is that, for example, the first time I played in the presence of Osho was a very significant experience. It was as if I was not there. I mean, I was not there as a personality, as an ego, which obviously before that it was present. Yeah, it's as if I was just a channel, an empty channel of something, you know. It was a bit scary because you don't have that identification, you know, with what you are doing, you know. But it was very significant. And that was going through the whole experience of making music when I was sannyasin. I mean, first of all, it did bring out something through the singing, which is basically for me the most important, is my vehicle in music, is singing. And it brought out some vibes and some dimension that were unknown for me before. And that was, you know, because of playing in his presence, but also obviously playing and singing in the environment of the commune. And the other thing that happened is that I started to compose things, which I didn't do before. And probably that was the effects of being in a certain space, of being relaxed and to let things come out spontaneously.
Basically, your heart opened, you experienced dimensions beyond the mind, and then creativity increased quite dramatically, I think, because you started composing as well and just letting things flow. So, I mean, that's wonderful. And in fact, your music is very touching. You know, for me personally, you know, when I hear your music, definitely touches my heart. There is no doubt. And I feel a strong connection to Osho, but also we can say a connection to the divine, to something that transcends the material plane. So there's a very strong longing from the heart that is activated. Yeah. And in fact, I take this opportunity to thank you for the beautiful moments I experienced when listening to your music. And one of the most beautiful songs for me, one of my favorites, is I Keep on Loving You. So, yeah, maybe tell us a bit about the story behind that song. How did it come about?
I Keep on Loving You, it was a song that we composed together with a friend of mine, Arjun. Actually, it was his initial idea. Then I helped him and I had another part. But it basically happened just after Osho left the body. I was living in Munich at that time in Germany. And we met in his house there. And he showed me this thing that he had in mind. And I mean, I immediately synced into it. And I created another part of the song, you know, which was step after step merging into this moment. Beloved, I'm feeling your presence. And this was something that I did experience when I was in Pune, walking through Corrigan Park. I was feeling like that I was walking in this park, and step after step, I was getting more into myself. Not much to say about I Keep on Loving You because you light the fire, which is the essence, you know. So it was this feeling of gratitude when he left the body that I would be always loving him because he is really has light the fire. And was obviously a very beautiful experience the first time we played it in Buddha Hall. Really beautiful. I mean, I was obviously a bit scared because there were a lot of people in Buddha Hall during that time. And Arjun, which didn't play with me when I played when we played the song, he was just standing in front of the stage, and after he told me, I had goosebumps when you start that song. Certainly to do a lot with emotion, of course, because Osho left the body. But here is another thing which is my experience, that I have to say that is really important. Emotion are not something that you have to go over and get rid of it. They are part of your being. And this has been also for me the story at the beginning of the sannyas. It has opened up my, how to say, a lot of the emotion that I had hidden in myself. And I can become even more explosive because I've always been a very quiet guy. But it was like opening a door, you know. Maybe I will have to mention another song, which are words of Osho. This is another song which I didn't compose, but I did record. And there are some words of taken from Osho discourse. And these words say, love is the most shining star in the inner sky of your being. So, which I interpret like that, your being is vast. It's like an empty sky. But love is the most shining star. So it includes everything. It doesn't go beyond this. Because in some spiritual schools, it seems like you have to go over, control your emotion, go beyond. I mean, you may go beyond, but the most important thing is that you leave them and accept them. And certainly, I keep on loving you. It has been an apex of this thing. It obviously captured the feeling of most of the sannyasi. In fact, at that time was very much known everywhere, you know, the song.
For me, it's beautiful to hear a little bit more about the stories behind, because, you know, now that I will listen again, I will have a little bit more context attached to it.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's important that you say that because, I mean, things are, you know, are always interpreted in a certain way, but it's good to hear what is behind, you know, then you may get them in a deeper way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for sharing a little bit more about the songs and how they came about, how you composed them, etc. And also, you reminded me just now that Osho, in addition of being a mystic and a great genius, intellectual, a philosopher in a way, even though he always said he's not a philosopher, but he was a professor of philosophy, he mastered philosophy. Sure. But he was also a poet. In his discourses, there are so many sentences that you can take and could be coming out of a great poet, and also poetry that is so elevating, so inspiring, so positive, whereas a lot of poetry around is around sadness and melancholic kind of a type of emotion.
If you have time, I can tell you the episode of another song.
Yeah, go ahead, absolutely.
Okay, that's very important. I just closed my eyes. Which is another song that I composed. I was in Munich also when I composed. I just closed my eyes. And it has been very significant to me. And what happened is that first of all, do you know the song?
Yes, of course, absolutely. And it's, again, very, very beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, what happened is that I was in my house and I had the mind going like a train, you know, about everything. I couldn't stop it, and it was a bit of a torture. It's a bit like if I was boiling, you know, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't relax at all. So I decided to go out of the house, and I went on the river, which was close by, and I started to run. Probably I was looking for some relief of this energy that I had in the mind. And I did run for quite a long time, until I got to a point where the river was twisting and turning, you know, was not straight. But I have been running for a long time, and I felt like sitting down in front of the river, and I just closed my eyes, and there were no thoughts anymore. There was only the sound of the water. That's how the song is born, and the thoughts are carried away by the river. And that's what was happening, was the sound of the water carried away the last thought that I had in that moment.
Well, look, it's amazing. And I think the reason why your songs are so impactful is because they're coming out of your own real experience. So now that, again, for me, it's very important to hear how the song was composed out of you sitting by the river. So it's not just some kind of imagination.
It's imagination, bravo. Absolutely. That's very important.
Okay, amazing. So Maduro, these are the songs of the past. Looking at the future, are you now in a sort of creative space and mood? And is there any project coming up, or you are kind of just chilling and letting go? And where are you at the moment in terms of music?
Well, I did the last CD 1 year ago, which is called Nothing Is All. And in that one, there was a new song, which is called Nothing Is All. Well, I'm not creating things like I was when I was in the commune, because, you know, there was an energetically, I was very much, how to say, inspired. Or so now I'm doing less, but I'm still doing it. And what I'm doing now, I'm just recording stuff or songs that I do like, whether they are mine or not. And I record them in a very simple way here, good quality, but in a very simple way, without any goal. I just like to record whatever song or mantra it touches my heart, and I like to sing, and I just share it. You know, either I put it on my Facebook page, or I did put together some satsang for Miasto, for example, because they did play some satsang, especially during the lockdown, that they could, you know, they could not play live. They put them on live, on online through YouTube. And I did put together some of my music for them. I don't have any big project at the moment, but I can't call this a big project, but it's something that it really touches me to be able to record something in a relaxed space.
It's a wonderful stage. I'm also actually at this time in my life right now, I'm like that. I just do the things I want to do. I have no commitments, anything. And it's so beautiful to just flow and just do the things that makes you happy. So we are heading towards the end. Is there anything that you want to add or share, something that I didn't ask you?
Well, if you want to know about the experience with working in the commune.
Yeah, if you want to share, if you feel like, it's great. Let's go.
Because I've been doing a lot of work in the commune, you know. There are one important thing that I experienced during work in the commune. It was, in a way, something not so different than what I experienced when I was playing live in front of Osho. In the sense that the work took a totally different turn, and it was a totally different experience than what I was using, what I was doing before. And again, it had a lot to do with creating an experience in which you are not identified. It's an energetic experience. It has been a lot, a flowing of energy. It was not something that you do because, you know, you identify with it, and that's what you do. In fact, in the commune, I've been doing many different work. I mean, I've been also playing music, but I've been doing all sort of things, cooking, cleaning. And it has been something that has brought me to a new level, a new approach to work. In fact, at the ranch in Oregon, it was called worshiping. Do you understand the word worshipping?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what was called. It was not called work. I mean, I can understand why. I have been experiencing doing things that I would have never imagined doing before. The secret was just going with the energy and not holding back anything. And, you know, more I was doing that, and more energy I was feeling. I remember I had to tell you an episode in Pune One, for example, when I at a certain time I was cleaning the public toilets, and it was such a work of centering, because it was so organized that you had to, for hygienic reason, you had a little bucket and a little sponge for every part of the toilet. This not to contaminate the other thing. So basically, you had to be very centered, not to mix up the thing. And plus, you didn't have much time. I mean, in 20 minutes, I had to do all the public toilets. It looked terrible to me at the beginning, but I was doing it sometime in the evening, in the night. When I was coming out of that job, I was feeling completely awake and full of energy. Completely awake, you know, energetically, as if I have done a meditation, basically. And this has been a lot. I mean, I could tell you other episodes that happened to me, but this was one which was quite significant. When I was at the ranch, I used to, at certain stage, I was going and prepared the breakfast in the kitchen, which was half an hour walk away from where I was. We were sleeping in tents in November. It was very cold. I would have never thought that I would do that, you know, without suffering. And I was waking up at 4 o'clock at night and walk half an hour in the dark to go to the kitchen to start to prepare the breakfast. And, you know, how could I do that? I mean, before I was not even, somebody would have told me you had to do that. I would have said you are crazy and I would have run away. But that was not the experience. The experience was that I was, again, after doing these things, I was feeling so crystal clear, awake, and, you know, as I would have not feel otherwise. I reached a point one time that finished to prepare breakfast. The people were coming, and I remember a couple of times that I imagined a person that I knew, and half a minute later, this person would appear there. You know, I thought, how this is possible? I don't know. There were a lot of people there, you know. So, and it's full of episodes like that. Yeah, I mean, I did want to tell you this because this has been an important part of my life and important part of the commune. And I think this has shaped my life also now because I have a very different attitude with work. I just dive into it, you know, and I just do it as much as I can, of course. But I just jump into it and do it. And this gives me more than if I would hold back something. This has been very strong in Osho Commune, this thing.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I think it's very, very meaningful. And it's what psychologists describe as being in the flow. And I think it's also the gift of being with an alive master and in a Buddha field. Maduro, I've got final questions before we finish the interview. What's your favorite meditation and why?
My favorite meditation is probably the first one that I ever did, which is Nada Brahma. I often do also Kundalini, but Nada Brahma, I did always loved it because it is a quiet meditation, but it has got a very energetical aspect in it. Without going to a catharsis, it moves your energy without doing much. That's it. I have to say, another meditation for me is singing, but it's not a technique.
Okay. So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
That's a big question. It's always to look at the aspect of what happened beyond the mind. It's always to bring the experience that the most important thing is the experience that you have in yourself, to get in contact with that space, not to get lost into the mind. And this, I think, is really important because we are getting more and more into a world which is really mad. Strange things are happening around the world, really strange. So it's very important to keep, for myself, of course, to keep in contact with that space. Yeah, that certainly is what means to me to be with Osho.
Well, thank you so much, Maduro. I really enjoyed chatting with you and learning about the background context of the songs that you composed. And then, yes, the world is going mad more and more in a way. Strange things happen, but we keep dancing and celebrating and being in love with life and Osho. So thank you so much, Maduro. So that's the end. I send you a big hug and lots of love.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao. So.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.